On radio. On radio. More of the good stuff. CliffCentral.com. Welcome back to the good stuff, Cliff Central's very own happy hour with myself, Brent Lindekew, the good things guy. I am so amped to be back in studio. You may not have noticed because we cheated the system a little bit and we did a couple of pre-records, but I was away and I'm back in studio. It's Tuesday and I'm just excited to be here hanging out with you guys, bringing you all of that good stuff. I was recently on the most amazing trip over the past 3 weeks. 8 flights, 2 train rides, and epic adventures, which took me through 5 different countries. So many incredible places. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. I must just say, though, traveling makes you speechless and then fills you with stories. It shows you all the amazing places you can go.
Attitude for gratitude.
But so much more, it shows you where you come from.
Yes.
Exactly. This is Kerry, the good news girl.
Hi, good morning.
She's sitting right next to me. I'm so inspired right now, so proudly South African. And we've got so much good news for you. We've got so much going on today, so much good stuff to get stuck into. We call the good stuff Cliff Central's very own happy hour because it is. We come here and we just give you good things, good news. And we give you something to talk about over your water cooler or when you're sitting at dinner. All of those things. The weekly show aims to just put a smile on your face and really just give you stuff to chat about. And good news, there's so much of it. No bad news here. Instead, we dig deep into all that relevant stuff that you see on the news channels, and we try to find the good news in every story. So Kerry and I are going to start off the show today with a little bit of a catch-up, where we'll just sort of talk about where we've been in the last 3 weeks. And then we're going to head into the top 5 trending good news stories. We do that every week. So we find 5 good news stories that have been trending on social media and just doing the rounds. And today, we've actually got 6 because something happened last night, which we need to speak about.
Oh.
So that's quite exciting. And then we also get to chat to Natasha Alamia, who's actually a friend of mine.
Yes.
Which I'm excited to have her in studio.
We have spoken about her.
We have spoken about her because she's done amazing things. And I must just tell you, we're sitting in the new Cliff Central Lounge at the studios.
It's so cool. I'm having such fun. I'm on selfie mode.
Yeah. It's the Unradio Studios. Everything's new. The microphones, the desk, the computers, even the little glass thing that I can see the producer on the other side. It's all new. And behind our producer is a massive, massive ice cooler.
Yes.
Full of the Pierre Jourdan PJ Pops.
Dun, dun, ling.
So today,
isn't it a bit early for Pops?
It's 12 o'clock somewhere.
Yes.
I traveled, so I'm on international time at the moment.
Okay.
So we're going to be tasting the Pops for the first time. And, Kerry, you're quite excited.
I just
saw a big smile on your face. So we're going to be tasting the Pops for the first time. And I get to chat to one of my best friends who is doing incredible things in South Africa. She took a product and she's made it South African. And I just love to see amazing things happening in our beautiful country where it's innovative, authentic. And really, this is the shiz for this summer. This is really what everybody should be talking about.
And, I mean, it's entrepreneurship.
I think that
at its base,
that's what it's about, right?
Yes.
It's coming up with a simple idea, which is actually not simple, and marketing that, and just really doing good stuff. So we're going to be chatting to her, as well as Rulani from the Nedbank Skills Transfer Initiative, where they're transferring skills into townships. That's pretty important.
Mm.
Skills. Upliftment.
Yes, that's very important.
It's all these things that we talk about all the time about making a difference.
Yes. And it's all got to do with education and empowerment and people taking a little bit further.
100%. Mm-hmm. And then I don't want to say it because last time we didn't get it right. So Rhiannon Vasti, Mansa, who are also really good friends of mine, they kayaked, did something in a little canoe thingy. I don't know what you call it.
In their bath.
Like they
it's tiny.
They floated a canoe.
Yes.
Basically. From California to Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
Alone. Unassisted. with no one helping them.
Nothing.
And last time we got to speak to them via the satellite, this satellite phone,
yes.
He told us how the boat had capsized and there was this huge,
very scary,
huge thing, and it was the middle of the night and there's no lights.
It was half past one in the morning when we spoke to him.
Yeah. And
like pitch black.
And the boat had capsized a couple of days before, and Vasti, his wife, was stuck to the boat because she couldn't let go, and he was away from the boat because the waves carried him somewhere else, and it took him like 3.5 hours to get back to the boat.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he got back to the boat, Vasti, who, she's an attorney, like, you wouldn't think that she's a Bear Grylls type person.
Stuck in the middle of the ocean.
Stuck in the middle of the ocean, had to shave a bit of his hair and, like, stitch him up again.
Mm-hmm.
It's just absolutely crazy. But they made it to Hawaii, which is absolutely phenomenal.
And now they're resting.
They're resting. But in that time, Care, they broke two world records. Two world records.
Really?
They were the first South Africans to cross the Pacific in first South Africans to cross the Pacific in the rowboat thing.
Unassisted.
Ever. Unassisted. Plus, they were the quickest people to ever do it.
Quick, really?
So the last the world record was like 43 days, 44 days, somewhere around there. My stats might be off.
Were they trying to beat a world record? Did they have that in mind?
So, like, I know Rian quite well, and I'm going to say this. He most probably wasn't. It literally just happens naturally with him. He's an adventurist, and these things just seem to happen. So they did it in 39 days.
That is incredible.
Yeah, it's a really cool story. So hopefully, we've built it up enough. Hopefully we can get hold of them. Again, it is via satellite, and maybe they're drinking cocktails on the beach.
I jolly well hope so. They deserve it.
They might not answer. But this conversation is not just between me and Keir. It's also between you, and we want to hear from you guys. You can tweet us at cliffcentral.com, or myself, Brent Lindekew, or Kerry Stain. Or you can send a message via our official WeChat account.
Send a pigeon.
Send some smoke signals. Or you can give us a call on 0861-555-189. We're all about getting into the conversation and talking about the good stuff together. If you have any good news that you'd like to share, we want to hear from you because that's what it's all about. So, Kerry.
You've got a lot. Tell me.
Man, oh man. I got to go 3 weeks of traveling. And like I said at the beginning of the show, traveling really opens up your eyes. It makes you speechless when you're seeing the Castle of Edinburgh.
Now, was this the first time that you had experienced all of this? Or have some you done of it. Before?
Some. So I'd been to Dubai Airport a couple of times, but I'd never been into Dubai.
Yeah.
And we decided to go into Dubai.
Yes.
And wow.
Really?
First world. That's the only thing I can say. It's first world.
Did
the
you
buildings
go shopping?
Are beautiful. Not really. We spent time with friends while we were in Dubai,
and
we got to go to
important.
Got to go to restaurants. We got to see where they lived.
Just experience other people's lifestyles, your people's lifestyles,
my people, and how they're living. A five bedroom house on the Palms.
Sorry.
On the Palms.
Sorry.
Was amazing. And the restaurants were cool. And then, as I would, so for those of you that are from Four Ways or Johannesburg, I'm sure you've heard of Billy the Bums before.
No. Never.
Never, ever. Well, we don't talk about it, and we never plan to go there, but we all love it. We all love it. I found the Billy the Bums in Dubai. Basically, it was called Lock, Stock and Smoking Barrel.
Oh,
and we had the most amazing time just hanging out. It was really cool. So Dubai, it was an eye opener in very first world. Then I got to go to Edinburgh.
Yes.
During the Edinburgh Festival.
Did you plan that?
Kind of, yes and no. They have 3,500 shows over a month.
3,500 shows.
Over a month. The whole city turns into one big.
Okay, so are there more than one, obviously more than one show running at a time?
There's about 300 or 400 venues around the city. So old churches turn into a venue. Restaurants turn into a venue. They have pop-up
venues.
That is
such a good idea.
And there's just shows everywhere. Some of them you can pay for. Some of them are free. And the friends Shelley and Ricky who I went and met in Edinburgh, they planned everything to a T. So we got to go see so many good shows. I got to see a guy called Russell Howard, who's incredibly famous in the UK, and we got to see him for £5.
What?
Just because it was the Edinburgh Festival.
Five. £5.
It was amazing. So yeah,
that's cheaper than a show here even.
Correct. So we got to see really cool shows, got to experience Edinburgh food, the sightseeing, the castles, the rain.
I did see the castles. Those were beautiful.
Stunning. The thing about the UK, whether it's England, Wales, Ireland, Scotland, it's all about the history, right?
Yes.
So they have history that starts at year one. When you go on the tour bus, they go, this it was where the stone was, where the queen met her husband in year two. Like they have real history. Whereas in South Africa, we're such a young, vibrant
compared
city.
Compared to that.
We are 170 years old. You can call me out on that. You can tweet me. I'm not sure about the numbers. But I mean, I've been on the Red Bus tour here in South Africa.
Yeah.
And they go, here is the oldest building in Johannesburg, the post office, which is 125 years old. Like, it's just the history is so different.
There.
Well, there it's like 2,000 years old. It's very different. Mm. And to experience that history and just to experience different worldly things is amazing. And then I got to go to Serbia.
That apparently is beautiful.
Wow. So beautiful, I think, and the reason it's beautiful was because of the people.
Yes.
The people of Serbia are
so friendly, apparently.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Hospitable. The food is all fresh. So all the South Africans, we were all there together.
I heard that if you go to a restaurant, they're actually picking your stuff out of, like,
literally.
Yeah.
They've got sort of gardens inside the city, but then they've also got farms about 15 kilometers away.
And it's close.
All organic.
Yeah.
No pesticides.
Oh.
There were a group of South Africans. We all went together.
Now that is the dream.
It is the dream. We all went together and we would order our dinner and we would all order extra tomatoes just to eat. I've never tasted never tasted a tomato like that in my life. Ever.
What did it taste like?
It was just tasty and fresh and you wanted more. I bought a couple of groceries because we stayed in an apartment. We were there for a week. Mm. And I bought a couple of just groceries to get me through. And I bought bananas because I like having a banana in the morning with my cereal. Mm. And I'd left it on the counter and the next morning, the whole apartment smelled like banana. I promise you, Kay, the food was amazing. The places were amazing. Skardalia was all where the restaurants were incredible. On the riverbank by Ada was amazing. But again, the people are what made Serbia just out of this world unbelievable. And I left Serbia with so many good friends. I'm not going to talk about the splavs, which is where all the clubs were. That was absolutely crazy. One of the things I want to mention, which I saw in Serbia, they got bombed in 1999, which is 17 years ago.
Yeah.
Bombed.
Yes. Kind of like what Syria looks like now.
And the city haven't fixed it. So whether it's been left there because they cannot afford to, or whether it's been left there as a reminder.
Oh, I've got goosebumps. My hair is standing up.
You walk through the city where thousands of people died and got hurt and injured. And it's just a reminder of the ugly side of humanity. So
because you've got such beauty,
beautiful European city, beautiful people.
You've got pain.
A couple of buildings around the city where I was, and it's just a reminder of humanity. And you know, it all, like I said, the traveling leaves you speechless because you see all these incredible things, and then it gives you so many stories to tell. And the biggest thing that I'm bringing back with me after 3 weeks, I mean, there's so many. I've written down. I've got a book filled with things.
Did you keep a journal?
Just a notepad of ideas, things that I can.
I'm sure you're so inspired.
Unbelievably, and I'm inspired for South Africa.
Yes,
for South Africa. And that's what I want to say is that even though traveling shows you all of these Germany, I was in Germany for a bit. I was all over the place, and even though it shows you all of these incredible things and where you can go, it's a huge reminder of where we're from. And South Africa, yes, I'm proudly South African.
Mm.
And I want to hold on to this feeling
and
of the amazingness.
I think at the moment, everybody's just so negative.
Well, look,
they're negative about our country.
I've missed 3 weeks, right? I've been watching it on the news.
People.
I'm watching it on the news.
And how is it from the outside?
You know, it's very interesting because the Pretoria High School girls thing happened, right?
Yeah.
And for me, a lot of South Africans were quite negative about all of that, right?
Yeah, very negative.
So whatever was going on, I mean, there was, you see all these news reports being shared on social media and you see all of these things. And it's South Africans who are quite negative about the whole situation. And in the international community, it's the other way around.
Yes.
So they're dealing with their own problems and their own things. But from the outside looking in, they could see things for what they were. And I'm sort of being political and not getting too. Actually, you know what? Fuck it. Yeah. I'll get into it.
Yeah.
I'll get into it properly.
Do it.
I stand by exactly what I believe and what I said.
Yes.
And I'm amazed how little South Africans understand each other as a whole.
Yes.
And how
culturally,
how we don't understand each other. And maybe it's, you know, well, from the outside, it may look like it's something as simple as a girl refusing to cut her hair. But I think it goes beyond that and speaks of centuries of oppression that black women have faced. That's a fact.
Yeah.
I'm a white man.
Yes.
And I have no right to comment on someone else's
culture, yes,
their hair, or where they are. But because of society and South Africans' history, little girls as young as 3 years old suffer burning scalps, leaving scabs and scars in order to fit in and have straighter hair. That is another fact.
A more westernized culture.
100%. I'm 32.
Yes.
And when I was growing up, when I was in high school, I could never do anything with my hair. I couldn't like do the middle path or do whatever else everybody else was doing because my hair is curly.
So is mine. I've got very curly hair.
I've got an 80s perm.
Yes.
Permanently imprinted onto my head.
I've got curly hair as well.
Like properly. And when I was growing up, it was tough. Yeah. So for a very long time, I kept my head shaved. Completely shaved.
Yeah.
Like you wouldn't do the same because you're a girl.
No, but I wasn't allowed to wear my hair down. My hair always had to be tied up.
Wowzers. So that's sort of the situation of where I was.
Mm.
And a couple of years ago, I chemically straightened my hair. I decided to do it. I was like, I want straight hair. Even though GHDs and things are out,
yeah.
I went to a hairdresser.
Brazilian, to do a Brazilian.
Pretty much, but it is what it is.
Yeah.
It's chemically straightening
yes,
your hair.
Yeah. Did you wear a mask and everything? I've seen people go, I've sat at the hairdresser and the girls are crying. Their mothers have them there. They're 11 years old.
So
the girls are crying and they're being intoxicated with these fumes and the stuff going in their eyes. And I'm just like, I'm sorry, I don't care. I'll rather just stick to what I've got.
It is by God awful one of the worst things I've ever been through. And I swear I will never, ever do it again. I was in so much pain during the process. It felt like my head was on fire.
Oh, no.
It felt like there was pins being stuck into my head.
No.
I finished up and I had straight hair for weeks after that, which was fantastic. But I also had scabs. When I left the hairdresser, I went home. And I took Myprodols and I went to bed. And I was sore for like 3 or 4 days. And I've never done it again because I was in so much pain. I was like 26.
Oh,
I was a grown man.
No. Mm-mm.
So the problem that I have is that the rules created in schools that we've never addressed, they reinforce this.
Yes.
They basically, they ask these children to change the natural texture of hair. Like how could you imagine that was your daughter?
No. I even sat there in the hairdresser and I said, there is no way that I'd put my child through that. No way.
So whether or not you believe that anything, whether or not you believe maybe it's political propaganda, I've seen news reports about how they've paid this little girl to do this. Whether or not you believe any of that, what you need to understand is that it's wrong.
Mm.
It's wrong on every level.
It is very wrong.
Society.
I understand going with decorum and what do you call it? They have a code of conduct.
Yes, fully.
I understand that.
Fully. But the code of conduct doesn't include everybody. It was written in 19-foot sack and it needs to be updated. And what this little girl has done at 13 years old has started a conversation that every single human being should be having.
And you know
we need to have more understanding for each other, for our cultures, for our beliefs. If you understood, because a lot of white South Africans don't, that they have to go through this process of straightening hair.
No.
Afros are beautiful.
They are beautiful. And I've always said to my friends growing up, why don't you leave your hair natural? And they're like, no, because it's frowned upon in a way.
We grew up in a different time, and I'm excited about where we are now. In 2016, that whether it is social media, whether it is the way that the world works now, that a girl of 13 years old can create a conversation that creates change for the better. I don't know, South Africa and all these negative commentators, if you've seen the change that is occurring in our society. It's really positive. It's inclusive of everybody, and that's fantastic.
Did you see that picture? I think it went live yesterday or the day before, of a Namibian lady. She comes from an African tribe, and she was shopping in a supermarket, but she's still in her...
Oh, I did.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine that happening here? Someone, in their natural form, their cultural, like, natural form, going to Pick and Pay or Woolworths.
It's.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine?
It is the new world, and it's where the things should be, right?
Yes.
That's what we should be concentrating on.
You know what? I would love to be a fly on the wall should something like that ever happen here.
And it will. Yes, and it's going to. All right. So, we're going off on a tangent just because we're so excited to catch up. I haven't seen Kerry in 3 weeks, and I haven't spoken to you guys in 3 weeks, which is just flipping. I'm just amazing, it's excited. So but we're in this new studio, so if I don't get this right, don't laugh. I'm going to try it anyway. Every week we do the top five. It's where we get to bring you the top five good news stories that have been trending over the past week. And we source them and we find them and we bring them to you. And this week is no different. So I'm going to find our backtrack. Let's see if this works. New desk. Don't judge. Don't laugh. Or maybe do. Oh, it's not working. Hi, awesome producer. We love you. Can someone come in and help me? Oh!
Yay, we did it!
We've got it! We got it! It's our backtrack. What? This is the good stuff here. All right, so every week we get to find really good news stories that have been trending around the world, and we bring them to you so you've got something to talk about at the water cooler and at the dinner table and when you're with your mates, and it doesn't consist of...
nonsense.
Politics and crime and corruption and all that. So, Kerry...
Yes.
Let's...
Number five.
Let's do number five. What do we have?
And speaking of South Africa, South Africa's Wits University climbs world rankings. University of Wits, Witwatersrand in Johannesburg, has climbed the world rankings of universities to become the best in South Africa. So we're in the top 200.
It's the best in South Africa and the best in Africa.
Yeah.
How amazing.
And it's like, it's amongst... the top 1% of all universities in the world.
So I was lucky enough when I left school.
Did you go to Wits?
No, I went to UJ.
Yes.
But I used to go visit my friends at Wits all the time because they're quite close together, the Auckland Park campus. Yeah. And it's an amazing university.
It's beautiful.
And I'm talking about the outside, right?
Yes.
It's the inside that counts. Isn't there an ad like that? Cremora. Yeah. It's not inside, it's on top. Okay, well, this one's inside.
Yes, yeah.
It's about the education and what the Chancellor and the Vice Rectors are doing at Wits is absolutely phenomenal. It's really cool. I'm proud to say that that's in my hometown, Johannesburg.
And the other South African universities, Stellenbosch, Rhodes. I mean, they were all in the top 500.
Wow, in the world.
Yeah,
I can only imagine how many universities there are. So that's super, super flipping cool.
I think it's great.
Our education system. While I was away, and I don't want to go back, but I'm just jumping on the education band. Yeah, and I've got a lot of stories
that's
to tell.
That's okay. Just do it.
I met so many people over there who had requested, or like we just sort of hooked up on social media, or we'd sort of connected in some way, and we spoke about things. Projects, initiatives that are happening there and locally and sort of in South Africa. And we were are connected with the most amazing human beings. And one of them, or a group of them, I don't know if I can give the name away, so I'm not going to, because we might have them on the show soon and. But they've developed a free website, an app, and all of this stuff that comes together with technology to offer education for free. It follows South Africa's curriculum, but at a much higher level.
I think I've seen something like that.
So what these guys are doing is taking, and it was quite amazing because I went to go look at some of the videos.
Yeah.
So they've taken the full curriculum and like broken it into 150 videos of like maths or chemistry, yes, or whatever that is. And these videos, so you must understand this, this sounds so bizarre, but when you're in school and there's 40 kids in one mm-hmm. class, it takes the teacher an hour to teach 40 children what you could learn by yourself in about 4.5 minutes.
Don't even
I know that sounds around. Crazy, but it's 100% true. So they take these classes and they put them down to 4.5 minutes. And the whole idea is, A, that you can listen to it when you are at home,
yes,
the day before the lesson,
yes,
so you can understand it, and so that the teacher can reiterate it in class with that 4.5 minutes. So you get what the...
You know what it's called? It's called 21st century education
there
and
we
learning.
Go. There we go. Yes. So you get to get that information. Okay, so well, this is how this works in chemistry or maths or
it's
algebra or whatever.
It's about understanding it. It's about understanding the concept.
And once you've understood the concept,
yes,
then your teacher can make you do... projects.
I know.
Or fun stuff.
I actually saw something. I saw someone speaking about it the other day.
So I met with these guys in London and they're bringing this to South Africa.
That is very exciting.
I'm connecting them with the right people. Being in this industry that we're in, Kay, we know the right people.
That is very, very exciting.
And the government needs to jump on board. It's, you know, it'll just help our education system.
And you know what? If they don't, then we'll just do it ourselves.
Done. Sorted. That's number 5. It's part of the whole education system and WITS, and we're so excited. We post all of these stories up online, just by the way, so you can get them as well. Mm-hmm. What do we have at number 4?
Baby gorillas get their name in a ceremony created to save their species, and the pics are too cute.
So every year in August, September, I become like a giddy school kid on Christmas, or yeah, a giddy child on Christmas, because Rwanda do this every year.
Yeah.
They've had a huge problem with culling of the gorillas
Look
and people murdering them.
Look at its face.
It's cute, eh? So they have this problem with poaching of the gorillas for whatever, for meat trade or voodoo or wherever it fits in, that sort of practice. And through the ceremony that I think they've had it since, the dates are there.
2005.
They've carried out
the 12th ceremony this year.
They carry it out every year where all the new baby gorillas, as soon as they're born, because they're all born in the same season, they give the public the opportunity to name all of them.
Yes.
And I think there were 22
baby gorillas.
22.
Yeah.
They are saving these guys from extinction.
Mm-hmm.
And in the same time, in the same
and
breath.
And they have, though. They were, because they were critically endangered.
And now they've moved out of that
they've
system.
They've come out of that category.
So what they've done is they give the public the opportunity to own. Because if you name something, it becomes yours. And then you care for it.
Yes.
It's amazing. And the article that
we've... It's about changing the mindset so they protect completely. It. So that it's now a protected species.
Man, that's cool. And the article that Kerry's going to share is... it's got a bunch of photos. So you can see all these little gorillas.
So cute. Like, I want to go there and take one.
Well, you can. It's a tourist attraction, right?
I know, but it has to stay there.
No, it will stay. You're not bringing a gorilla back to South Africa. What do we have at number 3?
Pilots come together to give underprivileged South African kids the gift of flight. How awesome is this?
Yeah, man. It happened last week Friday, right?
Yes. And that is South African pilots have come together to give the joy of flight to over 150 underprivileged kids who have never been in a plane before. You can see the pictures as well. Pilots are putting on their aviator sunglasses and they're all wearing these little suits. It really, really is amazing.
How many kids did they help?
150.
And it was all, I mean, the kids were all interested in it. They were all interested in flying and stuff.
Yeah. And I've flown. I mean, look at this little plane. This is a bit bigger than what I've flown myself. And it is such an awesome experience, and you hear that a lot, especially with what happened at the beginning of the year with Miss Sparrow. You cannot deny somebody wanting to do something, do you know what I mean? But these are orphans. They don't have a choice.
And a lot of them, a few of them were also sort of Reach for Dream kids.
Yes, yeah.
So I just, hats off, what's the gent's name?
Felix Gosha.
Just hats off to you, bro. Being able, I mean, you... you have these resources that you've pulled together yourself. It's not like you own 20 planes.
Yeah.
And you have these friends that work in the industry, and you decided to take what you have and use what
incredible.
You can
really,
to make
really
a difference
is.
In someone else's life. Yeah. And we just applaud you for that. And it's so cool to see good stuff happening in South Africa. We're going to put this up online so you can see the photos and meet the pilots
even
and stuff.
Even flying from here to Paris to go have tea. I mean, for goodness sake, that's a flight for them.
Some people will never experience that.
They're going
in their
lives. To another town. They're going in an airplane.
So cool.
Well done.
Man, that's cool. What do we have at number two?
Newly elected DA mayor has pulled the plug on blue lights and fancy parties for politicians.
He is our hero for last week. He was our hero
City
for last
Tshwane
week.
City of Tshwane executive mayor, Solly, say it.
I don't have it in front of me.
Miss Manga. How do you say it?
Yesi. Miss Manga.
Yeah.
Yeah,
like
got
that.
It. Got
good
it.
Good job.
I hope that was right.
Yeah, he's announced two immediate changes which we used to cut costs in his new administration.
It's just cool. He's doing cool stuff.
Yeah, I think it's great.
And it's what should have been done 22 years ago. Yeah. Apparently, the new mayors that have come into action are refusing
they
the bodyguards.
Are like pit bulls, eh?
Refusing the fancy cars, no parties, no blue lights. They've just gone, actually, the people that should benefit from state money are the people. It's the people that need it most. It's the people that are poor, the people that need houses, the people that need food. So he's
exactly
taken away all those luxuries. And I think in some way along the lines there, he spoke about how actually the people that should be VIPs are every single South African.
That's it.
And not the government. So it's exciting. It's good
and
to
besides,
see change.
And besides, if there was change and if there is change and things start to get better, they won't need blue lights for protection.
Yeah, so
they
true.
Won't.
So true.
Because the people will love them. It'll be more of a welcoming ceremony than a protection.
Kerry, you are running for the next mayorhood. I'm ready to have you as mayor. You can be mayor of Cliff Centralville.
thank you.
We're going to put that story online so you guys can read it. We got number one coming up. What do we have?
Seventh richest South African gives his entire business to charity.
This is an old story, but somewhere it got sucked. Someone found it.
Yeah.
And it's been the number one trending story for the last week on goodthingsguy.com. Mm.
So, self-made South African billionaire Alan Gray and his family have given away to charity their entire controlling stake of the Alan Gray Investment Company and its offshore partner, Orbis, Business Day Live reported. So, I mean, that's incredible.
It's a phenomenal story.
That is huge.
Man, that's cool.
And he's in the same category as Warren Buffett and
I love it.
Bill
we're gonna,
Gates.
We're going to put that story up online because we're running out of time and I need pops. I need that. This is what
is
I'm excited.
Oh, is that why you're getting all edgy here? You're sitting on the edge of your chair.
Tash is sitting there with them. So I want to do number six quickly, which is a quick one, which I've thrown in. Can I?
Yeah.
We're going to put that story up online.
Yes.
Okay, so yesterday, Rudy Smith uploaded a video onto YouTube and all over Facebook.
Yes, I saw it.
It's choreography of the Meghan Trainor song Me Too. He wants Meghan to see it. I'm sure you've seen the choreography. Please go visit goodthingsguy.com because then you can see the video. He uploaded it yesterday.
How great is that? It came out of here. It came out of South Africa.
In the space of 3 hours, it had 13,000 views.
Sure.
And then as of this morning, it has over 130,000. So it is being shared far and wide and people are really, really, really liking it. I've got the song here, but you're going to have to go to goodthingsguy.com. I'll repost it so you guys can see it.
Watch it twice. Watch it 100 times.
The talent in South Africa is amazing. It's so cool. When we come back, we're going to taste PJ Pops.
Yay.
This is the good stuff on Cliff Central. Oh, she's amazing. I'm not lying. You need to go to goodthingsguy.com and go check out this video. It's maybe the best thing that I've ever seen in South Africa, coming out of South Africa. Something else that's come out of South Africa that I'm excited about, and it's so cool to have Tash in studio, not only because she is doing really amazing stuff, but also because she's a mate. And it's always fun to have people in studio that I know, because then we can just really bash it out and talk crap. No, it's exciting. Tash has we're going to speak about what she's done and how she's done it, but I'll give you a quick overview. So she found something overseas, which we'll get to now, and she decided that this product had to come to South Africa. It wasn't ever available in South Africa, and we're going to find out how she did it all. But basically, it's popsicles, ice popsicles. They call them JP Pops, and they have a little bit of vino in them, which we're all excited about.
Just a tad.
Just a tad. And Tash,
Yes.
Welcome to the good stuff.
Oh, thank you so much, Brenty. Thank you for having me, and to Kerry as well. It's awesome to be here.
Welcome.
Man, it's just cool to have you in studio, and you've come with all these gifts to show us and give us and amazing things. I'm going to ask you to get really close to the mic, so either pull it in front of you, get comfortable. Yeah,
there we go.
It's internet radio for you.
I know, I love it.
Everything is new and stiff and stuff.
New and stiff.
We love
and stuff.
It when it's like that.
So, I mean, you do incredible things and you're in the marketing field. But the reason we're here now is because you've literally launched the biggest thing in South Africa. I don't know if you planned for it to go this way. And if you did, you're flipping clever. It's all over social media. It's all over the news. Everybody's talking about it. Everybody's trying to get their hands on them to taste them. What the hell is a PJ Pop?
Okay, so what is a PJ Pop? Basically, to give you the backstory, myself and my business partner, John Mark De Cavello, and unfortunately he couldn't be here today because someone's got to do the real work. So that's his job for the day, to make sure the pops get to the stores. We were overseas on business and we strolled into Fortnum & Mason and we saw this incredible champagne popsicle, all branded up Fortnum & Mason. And had one of those, and I know it sounds super cliche, but one of those light bulb moments where it was like, let's do this. Mm. Let's have this in South Africa, but let's not import it. Let's make it ourselves. So we got back home. We popped down to the shop. We bought like 10 different brands of wine and Cup Classique, and we started experimenting on my stove. And we played with water levels and fructose levels. And we
whoa.
Yeah, hello.
Okay, I know you've cooked for me before, and I've eaten your food, and you're pretty good at cooking. That's like food science, right?
It is, and we are really not food scientists at all. It was literally at one stage, I think my husband was ready to lose his mind because the whole I'm telling you, the whole freezer was just all these little tubs of different flavors because some of it was too sweet and then some of it wasn't freezing right, and we wanted to get the right flavor. And more importantly, we were looking for a brand that covered a few things for us. It had to be aesthetically beautiful. It had to have the right flavors.
Of course.
And we wanted a brand that had the history and the innovation and this pioneering spirit of bravery that we felt that we embodied. And Pierre Jourdan at Haute Cabrier was very much that. Mm. So we like packed our little suitcases and trotted on down to Franschhoek with our little samples and pitched to the MD and the cellar master. And they are such visionaries and they have let us run with this. And we are so privileged to have launched South Africa's first wine popsicle to carry their brand. And the response has been overwhelming and we literally could not be more grateful.
No, well, so, I mean, take a step back. I'm going to get into the marketing side here. Mm. Were you quite nervous to pitch this idea? It's almost like writing a diary and having someone else read it.
Well, yeah, I look at it also as the same as when you hand, like back in the day when iPods were still used and you swap your iPods with someone. It's like, dear God, they can see I listen to Disney. It's the same thing because you're sitting in front of someone and it's hectic. You're taking what the cellar master, this is his baby. This bottled product is his baby. He created this and you're asking him, can we do something crazy with it? We're not going to harm it, but can we do something different? And it was nerve-wracking and they were just so wonderful because they know what it's all about. It was the first estate in the country to ever make a Cup Classique using a Pinot Noir grape, which at the time 30 years ago, because we're actually on the 30th anniversary of the Brut Cup Classique and the 15th anniversary of the Tranquille, they were considered to be mental at the time. I mean, the Von Arnhems are pioneers in the industry and they were just the natural choice and we're just so grateful that they shared the vision and that we've taken their brand into the 21st century into a whole different market.
And what a vision that is. I said it when you first got onto the show. Did you plan? There is always a marketing plan.
Yes.
And you had a plan and the PR was there and you were doing great things. Did you plan for it to get this big or were you just thankful?
To be honest, we did our research. We knew it would be popular, but never in a gazillion years. I mean, my background is marketing and brand strategy. So I was pulling on every skill that I've had since day one. Because when it's your own product, it's a different story. But wow, never in 10 million years did we ever, ever expect that the response would be like this. To go viral in 2-3 days since announcing on social media, to literally be selling out in Pick and Pay stores in a matter of hours. South Africans are epic. I just love how excited and enthusiastic people get with something new and sexy. And they just jump on and they support you. And the photos that they've been sharing, we have such an epic country. People are brilliant. They have fun and they just want to tell people about it.
Well, that's the thing. I could call it the best thing for spring, but it's not. It's going to carry through. And this is our summer ice lollies to make you jolly on the
Can
beach.
Can I say something?
Go for it.
So when I had it as my top, one of my top stories.
Yeah, because you know, so we wrote a story on Good Things Guy about
Yes, I saw that was the best blog post. I loved that.
No, well, we did it because, I don't want to be biased and say you're my friend. I did it because
What's wrong with you? Of course you did it.
Well, I did it. I
didn't choose it because she was your friend, because she wasn't my friend. I didn't know who she was.
She's your friend now. She's bought pops
exactly.
for you.
Exactly. And now, I mean, I had it as one of my top stories because I love the idea and the fact that you were so innovative. And you took something and now it's like this entrepreneurial pop.
Well, that was the basis.
And it came out of here.
That was the basis of the story. Yeah. Is that even though it was a product that was in
Fortnum and Mason.
Fortnum and Mason.
You have to do it with a fancy accent.
And even though it was there and you saw it, as a South African, I've always said that we're as a society, what I would call opportunists. Mm. And if you see something, it would have been very easy to just import them.
Yeah.
And much easier than the route you took.
Oh, you have no idea.
And then and then just after we put it up, I think there was an article on News 24. They put it on the news.
It's yes. on the news.
No, but they were saying like, there's this new craze. Yes, it's amazing, but it still has exactly the same sort of
cautionary sort of
advice. Exactly.
And I was about to say that. I mean, we're spreading the message and we have since day one. Yes, yeah. It's fun. Yes, it's exciting. Yes, it brings out the inner child and all the grown-ups, but it is for over 18s only. I mean, we're telling people this is exactly like a glass of wine or a can of beer. You know, the Tranquil Pop is 8.5% alcohol.
Shoo.
The Brut is 8%. It's only 110
mils.
That's
going to put me on my
Yeah,
bum.
It's 110 mils. It's boozy. So, you know, be safe, be cautious. Don't do silly things. Don't consume it where you're not allowed to. We want people to have fun, but we don't want anything to go wrong. Yeah. You know, but yes, you know, we think adults have been waiting for a long time to remember what it's like to be a kid with your ice popsicle. And now there's something
and you
just for
so
them.
Totally can.
And now
totally.
You now you can. And I'm proud of it. And the reason why the article, again, you are my mate and I support my friends in their businesses. But more so, it's because it is South African.
Yes. Yes.
And you've taken this upon yourself to make the production South African.
Mm.
It's giving people jobs. It's this
the whole process.
It's South African entrepreneurship, which is exciting.
We're a very small entrepreneurial firm. I'm not ashamed of that. We actually celebrated. There was a comment made, about us being a big corporate. And I said to John Mark, I was like, wow, they think we're a big corporate. But we're really not. And I mean, we have been asked many times, like, are you crazy? Like in this economy, how can you have thought of starting a business? And I lived overseas for 7 years and we both studied in Australia. And I can tell you, South Africa is still one of the easiest places in
definitely.
The world. You have an idea.
Definitely.
Make sure you've got your ducks in a row with SARS. Mm-hmm. Get the necessary permissions. Like we have when it comes to a product like this or any new idea, and then the country lets you run with it. And
it's
South
so
Africans
true.
Get behind
it's
their
very
own.
True.
They do, and I'm thrilled to be doing this, and we're not going anywhere. There's only going to be more coming out of JML. We're going to be the go-to for premium alcohol-based pops.
Man, it is exciting, and I'm flipping. I'm a little bit upset, and I'll tell you why. I'm a little bit upset that you brought me products. Because I need to go and buy products.
Oh, you're going to?
I need to go support you.
There's only four in here, Brenty.
That'll get me through lunch. Where do we find them?
Okay, so from a retail perspective, you can get them in select pick and pay liquor stores as well as in the wine sections of the grocery stores. All of our stockist information is on jmlconsulting.co.za. We also own a number of restaurants and bars and hotels across the Western Cape and Gauteng. You know, we've had a lot of Durbanites say, like, when are you coming? We're working on it to get to you by October, November. But hit our website. We keep it completely up to date with all stockists. And yes, go out and enjoy. It is warm and it's the product to have.
If I'm a corporate and I have an event coming up where I need like 2,000 pops for my guests, is that available? Can we do that?
Yes, absolutely. So for private event inquiries that are large quantities, you can absolutely contact JML Consulting. Our email address is info@jmlconsulting.co.za. That comes to both myself and John Mark, and we've actually had a load of inquiries and we've already stocked a few private individuals for events. And speaking of events, it's not only for private events. We've got a calendar of about 30 public events over the next 2 months. This Saturday we're going to be at It's Personal Picnic at Valbonne.
Oh my
God. I'm going to be there too.
You better, because I have, and I promised him, Justin Jarvis, you see, I told him he's coming.
Yeah,
no, but definitely it's going to be a beautiful day in the sun. We're going to be be there. It's going to be an epic. I know Black Coffee's playing. So that's going to be our nice sunny summery event that we're going to have a presence at. And there's loads. And our events are also on the website. So we want to be everywhere this spring and summer. So by the time winter rocks around and our exciting plans that are in the pipeline come up, you know exactly who we are.
Well, I'm excited and I'm very proud of you and thank you. The South Africanism, and it's flippin' cool, and you know, all those good things for you.
Thanks, Brenty. Well, man,
it's cool. One last question that I didn't get to, which I think is maybe the most important for listeners. How much do they cost?
In Pick and Pays, they're super reasonable. It's only 25 rand a popsicle.
Oh, wow.
And even our venues, you know, the hotels and restaurants and bars, they've also been super reasonable. You know, no one is going ridiculous. At the end of the day, you want someone to come and have more than one. So if you want to go and get them yourself at Pick and Pay, it's 25 rand each.
It's that flippin' easy. Go to the website, jmlconsulting.co.za. South African all
Absolutely.
The way. Go and check it out there so you can find out where they're available. And get yourself, I mean, this is the summer craze and it's what everybody's looking for. And anybody that knows me, if your birthday, anniversary, wedding, if anything's coming up,
it's my birthday on Sunday.
This is going to be your gift. You're going to be getting pops. This is the good stuff on Cliff Central. Is that better?
Yes.
Are we on?
Well done. You've got your headphones on, that's why.
Ah, I've got my headphones on so I can hear myself. Yeah. Remember, guys, we're not judging today. This is a new desk.
Yes, and it's beautiful.
So I'm still
doing well.
I'm still figuring out how this works. I'm pretending like I know what I do. It's the best way to get through the day, is what I say.
Exactly.
All right, so we get to meet really inspirational people. I pushed the wrong button, did I? I don't know what I did. I'm pushing buttons. Shout at me later. We've got Rulani from Nedbank, who's come to join us to speak about the amazing work that they're doing. Welcome to
Thank
the good
you.
Stuff.
Thank you, Brett. Thank
Welcome.
You. Thank
I'm going to ask you to get really close to the microphone because,
okay.
again, sure. I don't know how to work this desk, so we might.
There we go.
There we go. Welcome to the good stuff. You were sent here today to talk about the incredible work that you guys are doing.
Yeah.
In the townships.
Yeah. So basically, we have I'm from Nedbank Foundation. We have a footprint in urban and rural communities. I can touch on a couple of programs that we actually had in 2016, and some of them are actually those strategic national projects that we've been running for the past 6-7 years. Mm. It's quite interesting to note that during the month of winter, instead of doing your traditional winter campaign initiatives, we had then partnered with a non-profit organization that transfers skills, which is House of Monetic, and they worked with an NGO called Sinako, where we'll be training 15 soap making people that are in the clothing industry in terms of how to then produce good garments, you know. And as part of the campaign as well, the winter campaign, we were able to donate blankets. I actually don't know where to start.
You're doing so much, but I think the big thing is the skills transfer. I think that is so important to be able to to enable people to be
and
able
to empower them,
making their own income.
Yes.
Yeah. So instead of just going for your typical, let's drop off a blanket there and support a non-profit organization, we then sat together and thought, look, you know what? How about we look at the skills initiatives, skills programs, where we can link our non-profit organizations with companies that are up and running and see how they can then work together.
Yes.
Then we transfer more skills and more skills.
Definitely.
Better, and then it's job
You're
creation
empowering people.
And
we
empowering people.
It's one of the things that I just said to Tash is South Africans are opportunistic. Mm. So if we're able to take skills and expertise and mix them together, that's creating an opportunity for someone to make an income for themselves.
Definitely.
And it's so important. Mm. It's so important.
Definitely.
And it's also, I think the other side of that is that a big corporate like yourself is getting behind initiatives like this.
And we do support.
That is huge.
We do support. I mean, if you have registered your entity and you meet all the requirements, I mean, there is no ways that we can turn you back.
So now, when you do, obviously you teach them the skills development and do you also teach them about business?
We do. We've got a financial literacy and a consumer education team that then goes out to these organizations and schools.
That makes me so excited.
at schools where there is financial literacy programs that are run at
that is incredible.
Non-profit organization
that
level
is incredible.
Up until high school, primary school level.
Is this all over South Africa?
It's national.
Yeah.
All our programs, most of them are national, like 90% of them are national. Mm. Obviously, those are that the programs that are provincially based are those that reside in those provinces. Yeah. But we still go out there and give support. I mean, we have an amazing team in the office. We are all over the show.
That's great.
How, I mean, you guys, you've got many stories to tell, and I'm going to publish a lot of them on Good Things Guy. I'm quite excited to put them there. How long has the Nedbank Foundation been running for?
1992.
Wow.
We've been registered since 1992.
So I'm going to have a lot of stories to tell then.
Yes, definitely. Like, I mean, and we look forward to it. We look forward to it because most of the time we go into programs and we support initiatives, but we're too shy to actually talk about what we do because it's for the greater good of South Africa.
I know. I know.
And that is that's important, right? Yeah. You don't want to be walking around going, we're doing
look
this
what
only
we did.
For the publicity.
You know what I mean. You know what I mean.
I get it completely. Yeah. And that's why I developed something like goodthingsguy.com so that I can give that platform so that you're not looking like you're boasting because that's not what it's about.
No, that's not the intended
But at
purpose.
The end of the day, I have found and I believe and I know that if you're able to inspire someone with what you do, if you can inspire people by what you do, they will do the same.
Yeah. Let's
that's
be the change. Let's be the change we want to see.
Let's be the change.
That's exactly it.
If we want to get involved with any of these incredible initiatives, if I want to jump on board and offer my skills as a person that can talk behind a microphone and use a desk. I mean, like, is that something that you look for? Can I jump on board?
Yes, we do. What we normally look at is, so most NGOs, they write to us and requesting support. And if it's something that fits into what you're currently doing, we are able to link the two. And we've got mentorship programs that we're running as well. Where at leadership management level, we link you up with your school management team or whichever organization that needs support.
That's
and you
amazing.
Go in there and then you play your role in terms of supporting them and also imparting the skills that you have.
Flip, that's
so
cool.
There's like a whole lot of programs that we run.
How do we get hold of you?
You can call us. I'm going to be in trouble, but
go,
it's fine.
Go. You're going to get lots of calls. How
call
do we do
us,
it?
You can call us on 011-294-4444 and ask for the Nedbank Foundation. You can write to us. It's nedbankfoundation@nedbank.co.za. You can email us.
It's that easy.
As well. You can go to our website. We've got our application form on the website, the Nedbank Group's website, where you can download the application form, fill it in, and if you meet the requirements,
why not?
It's that easy, and I'm excited to be there. We're going to put all of this online. Rulani, it's been great having you in studio.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming through with us and telling us about the amazing work that you do.
Thank you.
It really is inspirational to see South Africa change happening before our eyes. We're going to put all of those stories online. I cannot believe the hour is over. Kerry,
I'm
where
sad.
Did it go? Oh, she's sad. She is sad, sad, sad. Don't worry, we've got PJ Pops. There's good things happening in the studio. You've tuned into the good stuff on Cliff Central, and we've spent the hour chatting about really good things that really matter. And it's those stories that we need to be focusing on in South Africa. I think a lot of the time we can get bogged down with what is going on around us, and we forget to see the beauty of this flippant country. I said it. I've traveled for 3 weeks, and when I came home, as much as I saw what I saw and I saw where I could go to, I so much more saw where I'm from. And I'm excited to bring all of these great things and inspirational movements to South Africa. We need to stay motivated. We need to inspire others. We're in this together. And the only way we'll get through this is together. I'm going to leave you with this week. Call me crazy, but I love to see people happy and succeeding. It inspires me to do better. Life is a journey, not a competition. Let's take a moment to cheer our fellow human successes. There is enough sun for everybody. Leaving it there, that's the good stuff for this week. If you want to catch up with any of the other shows, all you got to do is log on to cliffcentral.com or goodthingsguy.com. I'm going to figure out how this desk works. Have a terrific Tuesday.
Bye. Cliffcentral.com.